Welcome to Radioactive Magazine. We will be talking with Kathy Hornung and Erica Benson about the legal status of the Equal Rights Amendment, or ERA. Kathy is the director of both VoteEquality.us and the Virginia Ratify ERA campaign that helped convince Virginia to ratify the ERA in 2020, January 27. She was also a lead organizer and participant in the January 27th rally to commemorate the second anniversary of the ERA obtaining the threshold of the constitutional threshold of three fourths of the several states, per Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. Virginia became the 38th state to ratify. 3/4 of 50 is 37.5. On that day, in 2020, Erica is ERA campaign coordinator for Project 28 MO, or Project 28 Missouri. That's project28mo.com, all one word. She is also a leader in the Women's Equality Coalition of Greater Kansas City. I'm Spencer Graves. Erica, before getting into details, what's the Equal Rights Amendment?
It's the 28th Amendment of the Constitution, but it says in Section 1, equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. The second section says the Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. And Section 3 says this amendment shall take effect 2 years after the date of ratification. So according to Article 5 of the Constitution, the ERA is the 28th Amendment.
Okay. So, Kathy, what's the status of it?
Well, our national librarian, also called the National Archivist, has not actually published it into the Constitution. There has been a little bit of, I would call it, executive overreach. We're not supposed to have an executive branch sort of involvement in appending the Constitution. It's supposed to go between the legislative branch and the states. But during the Trump administration, a memo came out from under the Trump administration Justice Department and asked the archivist not to add it or not to publish it. And so that part is kind of tied up in the courts. And then in the meantime, there's also some more legislation from the legislative branch trying to take back that power in amending the Constitution. The House has passed a resolution basically saying we, you know, regardless of any wording of a deadline or a purported deadline that's in a preamble, we are recognizing this as a fully added constitutional amendment. And the Senate has a similar resolution and is going to be taking that up.
Tell us about the resolution in the Senate. Is it bottled up in some committee, or what's the story?
Yeah, so it's SJ Res 1, which is a really nice nod to the importance of constitutional gender equality. They usually save those special numbers. You know, the lowest numbers are the things that they are signaling are very important. Mm-hmm. We have just found out that there is going to be a Senate hearing on the Equal Rights Amendment. It's slated for March 22nd. I believe that will be in either the Judiciary Committee or maybe a subcommittee. I'm not certain of that yet. But yeah, so it's going to get its day and its conversation in the Senate. There, a simple majority of senators have signed on as, you know, kind of chief sponsors of Senate Resolution Number 1. And so we know it would pass on the floor. It's really with the Senate. The big question in the Senate is whether or not it gets kind of caught up in the filibuster or not.
Right. So there are 51 co-sponsors plus the official sponsor for SJ Res Number 1. Am I correct on that?
I believe so, yes.
So I noticed that Missouri Senator Hawley sits on the Judiciary Committee. So it would sound to me like we ought to be ringing his chimes.
Absolutely. And
yes.
Not only.
Go ahead, Kate.
I was going to say, not only is he on the judiciary, but if they do put it to a subcommittee, he is also on the Subcommittee on Human Rights and the Law. So regardless of where this hearing is held, it seems that he will be sitting on the dais.
Well, that's interesting. Of course, he's taken some pretty, is it fair to say, conservative positions on other issues?
Yes. He's met with us in the past, and he claims to have procedural qualms with the ERA. His wife also works for the Independent Women's Forum, and after we met with them, the Independent Women's Forum put out an anti-ERA video. So I'm pretty sure that he is not in support of the 28th Amendment at this time, but I think more pressure is not going to hurt anything.
It will reduce the chance that he's going to block it, right?
At least he can't say that there are, you know, he doesn't have constituents that don't support it.
Yeah, right. So I looked, the full Judiciary Committee has 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats. So it's evenly split. And I looked, all the Democrats were co-sponsors. And none of the Republicans. I think there are two Republicans who are co-sponsors, which is why it's 52 or something like that, right? So there may be one Democrat who is not a co-sponsor or two. I'm not sure, but
I believe we usually have every Democrat will sign on to this. The two independents will sign on to this, and then Murkowski and Collins will sign on.
Right. Okay. Right. So let's see. So there are also some lawsuits that have been filed against it. What about those, Katie?
So there have been, I think, three lawsuits related to this one. Two of them are no longer active, and the third is still pending in the D.C. Circuit Court. That lawsuit is called Virginia v. Ferriero, and it was filed by the three final states to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, which would be Illinois. Well, in the order of ratification, it would go Nevada, then Illinois, then Virginia. And so the three AGs from those three states banded together and sued to force the archivist to do his job. His job is really supposed to be just procedural. He's not supposed to be putting a lot of his own thought process, and certainly not letting the executive branch stop the addition of a fully ratified amendment. If you want to be an originalist and you want to be a textualist and you want to talk about states' rights, then, you know, there is nothing about a deadline in Article 5. There's nothing about the amount of time it might take to ratify. Our 27th Amendment took over 200 years to ratify and be added. So many of the more conservative senators in particular who are going to make the arguments that they have some issues with, you know, time length of ratifications, et cetera, we should be checking their voting records for what they did on the 27th Amendment, because they did take a vote to acknowledge that as the, you know, amendment. And that was, it's called the Madison Amendment for James Madison, and it was added in the 1990s. So that obviously took quite some time.
And what was that about?
That was actually about congressional salaries. So basically saying that they cannot pass a raise for themselves in the same year that they would be receiving the raise. So essentially, if they, you know, pass a raise, it can't take effect until the next year. It's supposed to be kind of a check and balance on their ability to give themselves money.
Right.
And the National Archivist at the time just went ahead and published it without consulting Congress, without consulting the Department of Justice or anything. And so, you know, looking at the situation with today, the archivist should have just published it without consulting the executive branch.
So the arguments on the other side, my understanding, there are two. One is that the original ERA as passed by Congress and sent to the states in 1971, was it? Set a deadline of 8 years or whatever it is for ratification that got extended to 1982 and has not been extended again, except in the legislation that's passed the House and that's pending in the Senate. Is that the story?
I would say that that is the politically correct version of their story.
yes.
It's you know, whenever you lobby a conservative lawmaker on this, they have the things they'll say out loud, and then they have what we believe is really driving their concerns in the background. And so they will tend to talk about deadlines and rescissions.
Right.
Even though they're, you know, even though that is actually a very conservative argument for why that is not an issue. And what they, you know, are really trying to shy away from are social issues that some on the right are really blowing quite out of proportion and acting like this is going to suddenly turn us into a country that has abortion clinics on every corner and, you know, everybody's getting free abortions. And that is their big hang up.
And bathrooms, right? It's like, okay, so somehow men are supposed to have equal rights to abortion as women. Is that the idea or what?
Well, and I think the thing with the bathrooms that always kind of cracks me up is it's like, well, haven't you been on an airplane? Because men and women use the same single, you know, we're always going to have a right to privacy. And we do use a co-ed bathroom on, you know, whether it's Target.
On airplanes and in a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Yes. Right.
Some of them have conservative goals. You know, they want to overturn some previous Supreme Court decisions, whether it be concerning women's rights or gay rights. And so I think they see the ERA as a barrier to some of their, you know, judicial court driven goals for overturning some protections for people.
Are some of the ERA opponents telling Senator Tammy Duckworth that she should not have been allowed to fly a U.S. Army helicopter into combat in Iraq in 2004, that she didn't have been allowed in a cockpit?
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to their original arguments back in the 70s and 80s, that was one of their greatest fears, is that women would suddenly be in combat, that women could be drafted, that, you know, we could end up with gay marriage. I mean, their talking points have eclipsed them and passed them by, and they're left with kind of one or two talking points, and that's about it. And so, you know, the problem that I see with all of this is that society will continue to progress in whatever direction societal changes are going to go, with or without the Equal Rights Amendment. And if we continue to just, you know, have this constitutional gap that we have, and we continue to not be a modern society with 168 other countries and what they've put into their constitutions, if we continue to leave that gap out there, we hamstring anybody who is being discriminated against on the basis of sex. And we leave them in a spot in the courtroom where they are really disadvantaged in that court case because they don't have this constitutional amendment. So, you know, you're trying to hold back societal change, which you are never going to be able to hold back. Society's going to change however society's going to change. And what you're really harming is any woman who's been discriminated against from being able to bring that court case and get her day of justice in court.
So what specifically is going to change when the ERA gets... what did you say, enrolled or what, registered or whatever it's called by the official archivist?
I would say published is probably the best word.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it becomes unconstitutional for a state or the federal government, for any government, basically, to discriminate on the basis of sex. Because as of right now, that is not directly outlawed. Got some like kind of piecemeal, you know, a 14th Amendment sort of intermediate scrutiny that can be applied to government action. But what we really want to see is that we take a stand. This is our value. This is what we're going to say as a country, and that we do not believe that our government should be discriminating on the basis of sex.
And
right.
It can't be, and it cannot be easily rolled back at that point. And it gives women power in, litigation, but also it with article or section 2, it allows legislative bodies to write laws to uphold, you know, the Equal Rights Amendment. So it empowers them to do more when it comes to gender equality, and maybe prioritizes it in a way that hasn't been looked at in quite some time.
Yeah, I was talking recently with an accountant who, a young woman who, got really upset about when she realized that women only got So what, 70 cents on the dollar for what a white male gets, and on average. And Scott very concerned about that. So, Katie, what motivated you to get involved in this?
Yeah, so my immediate, the most direct reason that I'm here today is my oldest child was studying in a history class, and, we were talking about the founding of the country, and, women at that time were chattel, and talking about where the founding documents were, and my kid walks into the kitchen and is like, "Mom, Thomas Jefferson didn't even mean all men when he said all men are created equal, and we know he didn't mean women. Have they fixed that yet?" And so that kind of began a little bit of a, homeschool lesson for our family on, what is in the Constitution and what is not, and what are people doing to try to change that. And one thing led to another, and now here I am talking about it.
We're talking about the Equal Rights Amendment with Katie Hornung, the director of VoteEquality.us and a national expert on the Equal Rights Amendment, and Erica Benson, the ERA campaign coordinator for Project 28 Missouri, project28mo.com. So Erica, what motivated you to get involved in this?
I mean, it's a similar story when thinking about the next generation. I I'm a high school educator, so I work with young women, and we have a gender equality club. And I have two daughters of my own, and just looking at ways to be impactful, and we, saw there was a gap in that Missouri still needed to ratify. And so we started an organization in the greater Kansas City area and created a coalition of organizations that support the ERA in Missouri, and began to lobby Missouri legislators to ratify. And it's, that now we've gone on to work with Vote Equality and the ERA coalition. So doing things at the state level, and then trying to advocate our national legislators as well.
There are some states that have rescinded their ratification, and we have not discussed that. So, Katie, you want to talk about that briefly?
Sure. Yeah, there were about 5 states that rescinded their ratifications prior to the deadline lapsing. And what we know from all of the times before that we've amended our Constitution is that rescissions are not a thing. Rescission is a one-way street, and we have 3 amendments in the Constitution in which purported rescissions were ignored as the archivist added the amendment and published the amendment onto our Constitution.
The survey of global experts in 2018 complained that the United States was among the 10 most dangerous countries for women. Your comment?
It is, and women, crimes against women are not prioritized. Do you think about the untested rape kits, violence against women? It's extremely dangerous to be a woman in the United States with, intimate partner violence, murder, femicide, and there seems to be no priority on fixing that. And so if women are going to have to sue their local police departments for not upholding their equality of rights by investigating crimes against women, or, following through on restraining orders, et cetera, the police department is budgeted, is a part of the government. So, I mean, there's going to be, the ERA would only help in improving that ranking, I would hope.
The ERA wouldn't impact it directly, but it would give the states or municipalities another tool to cite in trying to rectify that.
Right. And if a woman felt that her rights were not upheld by a police force or, whoever's enforcing the law in their given area, they could use the ERA. It's a passive, right? It requires that a citizen say that you're not upholding my rights here, that this is a violation of my constitutional rights.
Am I correct that 166 of those 168 countries are members of the United Nations? And the 2 exceptions are Palestine, which is not a member but has observer status, and Kosovo, which Wikipedia says is partially recognized, which is a partially recognized de facto sovereign state in Southeast Europe. There are 193 members of the United Nations plus two observers, the Holy See and Palestine. And the Holy See doesn't have an equal rights amendment in their or equal rights clause in whatever constitution. So 86% of the members of the United Nations have equal rights for women in their constitutions. That's 6 out of 7, basically. Comments?
Well, in the UN, they had a convention on the elimination of all forms of discrimination against women, and it's an international treaty, and it's ratified by 189 of those states, but the United States is not one of them.
And it's important to think about who we are in the company with CEDAW. That's the international treaty. You know, we're in the company of Iran, Sudan, South Sudan, Palau. Like, it's not like we're hanging
Saudi Arabia,
France, Germany, and England. Yeah, like, you know, for, you know, we're not hanging out with the most modern, you know, in Argentina or Brazil. Like, we're not hanging out with that kind of crowd when we have this attitude. We're hanging kind of the places that subjugate women, that, you know, and that don't treat their, you know, citizens with a lot of respect and gender.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia recently allowed women to drive an automobile, but put in prison the lead organizer of the campaign that secured that right. I noticed that one of the 168 countries was the United Kingdom, which is a constitutional monarchy without a written constitution, but apparently it has equal rights for women in the constitution they don't have. Your comment on that, Katie?
Well, I would say that a country that has a woman leader should for sure have gender equality as a strongly held value for that country. And we know that she, of course, you know, put out a statement, and that the royal family, you know, when they were having the next generation of babies, if that first baby had been a girl, that she would have ascended to the throne. So, you know, the world
is no longer the firstborn male, it's the firstborn, period.
No. It's just the firstborn, period. And so the world is modernizing, and it's time for America to kind of get with the program.
Wonderful. Okay, so Katie, you had an ERA rally on January 27.
Yeah, well, so I should say, so our vote equality group, among with many other groups, participated in a rally up in D.C., and that was, you know, kind of put together by, there's a group up there in D.C. called the ERA Coalition. And, you know, they put together a wonderful rally, and among other things that were done up there, we handed out an updated pocket constitution with a gentleman who we're working closely with. He funded our project to print an updated constitution that does include the 28th Amendment, because for too long, we're just kind of held a little bit hostage, and I want my constitutional amendment to have been counted and to be in there, and if the men in this country are having a hard time getting it printed, then the women are going to print it. So we did that, and we handed that out.
Well, if you're concerned about the Equal Rights Amendment, we recommend Missouri residents contact Senator Blunt and Hawley via email and phone calls and ask them to support SJ Res 1 or to at least not filibuster it. And on the Kansas side, Senators Moran and Marshall, the same thing. There's also still the petition out there to Attorney General Merrick Garland that was concerning a memo, and they did change the memo, but If you want to personally contact the National Archivists, you can, showing your support for the ERA, or even emailing Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who to just say that SJ Res 1 needs to continue to be a priority, and that it's really important to get it done this year.
Now, there was one more question that I had, Katie. You mentioned there's apparently only one lawsuit that's still pending, and that's a lawsuit from Nevada, Illinois, and Virginia Attorney General asking the archivist to actually enroll the thing. So if the Senate doesn't act, there's still a possibility that lawsuit could force the publication of the ERA. Is that, did
it's
I hear
possible.
That correct?
Yeah, it's possible. I would say that my preferred way of getting the ERA published is actually to have the judiciary branch just clear up a few questions, because it would be really nice for them to weigh in on whether or not the legislative branch can limit a state's right to ratify by putting a deadline on something. They have approved deadlines in the past, but they've never had a deadline keep out a fully ratified amendment. So that would be a really great thing for them to weigh in on. I think it'd be great to finally put this rescissions nonsense also to a very specific a judgment that can be pointed at that's very specific. I think there have been enough kind of gray areas with this amendment that having them clarified for the American public for all of the amendments in the future, that would be wonderful. And quite frankly, I feel like a conservative court should be the best court for this issue, because a conservative court that wants to talk about originalism, I mean, our founding fathers discussed whether or not they should have deadlines in Article 5, and they chose not to. And so if we go back and look at some of their writings, and if we look at how we've treated the rescissions in the past historically, where they've been ignored.
Is our current Supreme Court really conservative, or are they more corporatist than conservative? I mean, the United States of America, corporations are people, money is speech, and humans are second-class citizens. Erica, are there other events coming up that you'd like people to know about, the Women's Equality Coalition, or...
We're currently working on things for Women's History Month.
Which is August, right?
Well, Women's History Month is actually in March.
We are kicking off Artists for ERA. The event kicks off in Oakland, California on March 19th.
Okay.
But we're looking to bring that around the country and have gallery openings with this beautiful and inclusive Equal Rights Amendment updated artwork. And I am happy to tell you that one of our artists is from Kansas City, Missouri. So I will be talking with Erica about making sure that there's some sort of event in your area as well.
We have been discussing the Equal Rights Amendment with Katie Hornung, the director of VoteEquality.us and a national expert on the ERA, and Erica Benson, the ERA campaign coordinator for Project 28 Missouri or Project28Mo.com. Tune in next week for a conversation with Michael Smith and Ryan Forrest on voter ID and proof of citizenship. Smith is chair of the Department of Social Sciences, Sociology, and Criminology at Emporia State, and the editor of a recent book that includes a chapter on this topic by Voris, who is a political science prof at Abraham Baldwin Agricultural College in Tifton, Georgia. More on both the current and next week's shows is available in descriptions of these episodes of Radioactive Magazine at kkfr.org, select News and Public Affairs, then Radioactive Magazine. I'm Spencer Graves. Thanks for listening.